Welcome to Head Games Radio. We've got a crowded plate today with Tom Jackson, one of the more thoughtful people, and we're going to have some fun having Tom's comment on some of Michael Wilbon's, shall we say, opinions about the New York media, and we'll get to that in just a second. Then we're going to talk with Buddy Tevens, the Dartmouth football coach, and Fred Eng and Dr. Andrew Jacobs in the middle segment about the corrupting influence of, oh my gosh, athletic scholarships and how parents competing at this level are perhaps corrupting the values that kids might actually be learning from sports. And finally, in the last segment, there is a report card provided to us by the Women's Sports Foundation, and we'll be joined by Dominique Dawes, a former great in Olympic gymnastics, and also Emma Mullins, who is the president-elect and also a Paralympian of the Women's Sports Foundation, to talk about basically a report card on how women's status in international sports and sports in general is progressing. But here's a quote from our friend Carson Palmer. What is going on with the Cincinnati defense?
Huge. You know, it makes our job easier offensively. You know, when you know you can go out there and run the ball and take your checkdowns. You don't need to score on every drive. It just makes your mindset and the whole game a lot easier. So, you know, for our defense to come out, and they've been taking a lot of criticism over the past couple weeks, and for them to get two big shutouts in a row is huge for us.
We want to thank ESPN for providing that. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tom Jackson about some of the interesting issues that the New York media have confronted in the last day or so, with Michael Strahan providing what ESPN characterizes as a Journalism 101 lecture. Here's a little bit from Michael Wilbon from yesterday's show.
Well, I think, interestingly enough, one of the coaches that does that doesn't even bother with worrying about sealing the team hermetically, and that's Phil Jackson. Phil uses the media to come right out and skewer his players. He wrote a book saying Kobe Bryant was, you know, he just killed him. Well, who's his greatest relationship with right now? Kobe Bryant. I have, and Pat Riley has tended to do just the opposite. It works, obviously, for Pat. But Phil Jackson's way of basically, and Chuck Daly was another one. He didn't worry about the concept of family. I mean, he did in terms of what they did physically and emotionally when they were together.
That's Michael Wilbon. When we come back, we'll talk with Tom Jackson about the effect of media and how coaches, some coaches can keep their teams together, some leadership on the teams can handle it, and some can't. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests.
As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Hey, motorsports fans, it's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio Redefined. Join Lugnuts, Crash Gladys, Statman Carruthers, and myself each and every Saturday afternoon and Sunday nights on the Sports Byline USA Network. Saturday afternoons, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday nights for the granddaddy, 10 to midnight Eastern, all right here on the Sports Byline USA Network. Off-road, open wheel, NASCAR to drag racing, you get the real deal with the Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline USA Network.
We know who's selling drugs in our community, but we never say anything to them. And if a white guy was to come into our community and sell drugs, we'd probably kill him.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with Tom Jackson. First of all, Tom, I just want to say I appreciate the fact that a family man like you will take time out to join us. I know that those times with your family are incredibly important for you.
Thank you, Nick. I'm glad to be on.
I appreciate it, buddy. Well, listen, we talked to Michael Strahan about the sort of clinic he put on, a lecture he put on with the media yesterday with Michael Wilbon, and I wanted your comment as Michael applied it to those coaches in the NBA that have a way of making sure that it does not impact the team and some that really become victim to it. Here's Michael Wilbon.
As a matter of fact, they tended to understand they could use the media to form some of the messages they wanted to get, not only to the general public, but to their players. And the Lakers have done this for years with Phil Jackson, and it hasn't, you know, it really didn't hurt them. Even when Shaq and Kobe were going at it, Phil managed to use it also to the team's, you know, usually to the team's advantage. So I think there are various ways of doing this. Bill Parcells has done it his way and been successful. As I mentioned, Phil Jackson has done it a completely different way and been successful his way.
What do you think about that in the NFL itself? Besides Parcells, who are the coaches that don't allow the media, especially in New York? It's got to be tough on Coughlin. We know that this is a desperation game for them. But who are the coaches that you admire for how they basically teach their players on how to handle the media?
Well, you know, I think that Bill Parcells gives his team a little more free rein than he used to. I think that actually Coach Belichick is probably the guy who has found the easiest method of dealing with the media, which is basically he's the guy who is the voice of the organization, and you don't hear a lot of voices other than that voice. So at least the message that he sends is clear, and it is singular. You will not hear conflicting voices very often. Now, that's not to say that I have not heard any. You know, Tom Brady was disappointed when they allowed Deion Branch to get away. You know, Richard Seymour was a little bit disappointed, you know, that he was sat down in the middle of a game. So, you know, his comment afterwards about, you know, being out-coached. But you seldom hear that stuff with that ball club. I think that Herm Edwards, who's pretty open as a head coach in the NFL, tends to be very honest. Oftentimes wears his emotions on his sleeve, which is a kind of a totally different, you know, way of doing things. But still, I always say that he's as upbeat a person as you will ever meet in life. So when Herm, you know, says it, you tend to believe it. And I think that goes for his players, the media, and anybody else listening to him. So I think there's a varying number of ways to do it. But, you know, I can say that there's different ways. Coach Belichick feels safest not letting a lot of people speak. Coach Edwards feels very comfortable letting people speak and understanding that via him the message is likely to be very positive. And Coach Parcells has a way of dealing with the media that it certainly is a lot of fun. You don't want to be on the opposite end of some of those barbs from time to time, but, you know, it's fun.
For the people that don't know what happens, I was really taught a lot by how Marty Schottenheimer helped frame the mentality of the team. When he came in 1989, we had to reverse a losing mentality. And on Wednesday, mm-hmm. when he went through the game plan, and again when he repeated the game plan on Saturday morning, it was incredibly important how he focused the team on what were the key themes, what was our message, and you notice that with the Chargers, that the players will be consistent in the themes that are important, and they don't provide that locker room bulletin board stuff like other teams do that frankly happened this week with probably with Dallas and the New York Giants.
You know the other thing, though, is, Nick, I think, and you know, we can talk about philosophies of the way coaches treat people, but I think a lot of times it's the people that you're working with. It's the people that you choose to be on your football team. It's the people that I know a lot of coaches go into character studies on these players before they draft them or before they trade for them or before they try to pick them up in free agency. They check these players out to find out, you know, as much as they can, as much as you can, look inside someone, you know, what kind of person am I getting? So if you have quality people, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, in leadership positions, I think there is a likely, you know, a trickle-down effect so that the rest of the team sees the superstars on the team handle themselves like this. LaDainian Tomlinson works harder than anybody else, stays after practice, does all these things in order to be the player that he is. Well, who am I as the, you know, second string left guard to not do those same things? And I think oftentimes the character of your team stems from, yes, the head coach, but it's the people you have on the team and oftentimes the leadership that you have on, you know, I mean, Michael Strahan, I know Michael Strahan, and he, you know, he is a good guy. I think he's a good guy.
I do too.
He's in a town that everything you say garners focus, and I think you have to be very careful about what you say because the media there is like no other media in the world. It's the largest market, I know, for the NFL in the United States, so you say something, it's going to get heard. I was a bit surprised that, you know, it was couched the way it was by Michael, but I knew exactly from being in a similar position, I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant.
And I think as former players, don't you think, Tom, both of us at some level feel some gratification to have a player be able to articulate it the way
That's
he did,
right.
Even if it was emotional,
right.
Even if you could say it was intimidating to a female journalist, he still said some things that you wish were said a little bit more often. And here's Michael Wilbon again on the New York media, because I had to deal with that in the midst of a losing streak that was almost a world record with the Jets. So I wanted to see what you had to say about this.
Tell somebody. But it's a different critical column than is going to be written in New York. That's just the way of the world. It's the way of New York City. You and I have talked a million times, and I've told you, I'd love to be in New York City. I would not want to work in New York City for some of the reasons we're talking about now. But it's our job to be, if we're being, Michael Strahan's 100% right about this. If we're being positive when a team has lost three straight, when they've got injuries, when they're sniping at each other, and by the way, they have high-profile players who are in the media. Michael Strahan has his own show.
He's got his own radio show.
On his own radio show and his own, he's
so
on television, Tiki. And he's great at it. He's terrific at it. So Michael has these two sensitivities.
Michael has these two sensitivities. Kiki Barger has two sensitivities that lends them to understand this, but at the same time, maybe they also have to take some responsibility that when they do have these big shows, that people are going to automatically look to them in what they say.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, Nick, I think you have to be careful about, not necessarily, because, you know, I believe that everybody ought to speak their mind. You ought to say the truth, speak what you feel. But a lot of times, oftentimes, the manner in which you couch those comments and the way that they are going to be perceived by listeners or viewers, I think is important. If Michael had really thought about the comments, and I'm sure he did, and I'm glad he articulated what he did, but he also had to know that there were going to be some ramifications because of what he said. Now, I don't necessarily look at those as negative. I don't look at it as a negative if I can bring to the attention of a guy who I feel might not, on a given play, have given his all. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. But when the press gets a hold of it and the media gets a hold of it and you take it and you run with it and you know where it's going in New York media, then it can become a distraction for the team. It can also be, we know this from playing, it can also become a rallying point for the team. We're going to find out pretty quickly.
We are, and in fact, I believe that this is a make-or-break game for the Giants, and I, for one, predict the Giants will rise up and beat the Cowboys this weekend. They've got to. When we come back, let's talk about Michael Vick and the same kind of pressures that are on him as well. Okay. We're talking with one of the more thoughtful people covering sports, Jacked Up, Tom Jackson from ESPN. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
I always love that quote, that's Jerry Kramer, because Len Dawson on our Monday morning quarterback show always says, who are these two or three jerks? I'm always hearing about them. Where are they? All right, listen, Tom Jackson, let's talk about a guy that has so many skills, so many abilities, but right now is in a trench in his career. And the media itself are jumping on him. Here's Michael Wilbon for the last comment I want to share with you about the difficulty of coaching Michael Vick.
I also think it's difficult to coach him. I don't mean, that doesn't mean I'm agreeing with whoever says coach killer. it's difficult to coach him because we haven't seen that set of skills in a long time. And maybe you have all these factors, and maybe Michael isn't as receptive to some things as he ought to be. But I think to just sort of blanketly say Michael Vick is a disappointment is just sort of a lazy, you know, discussion. I think it's a much better discussion, a much smarter discussion to try to figure out what we've got here.
What's going on with Michael Vick? Do you think this is more a question of the talent around him, kind of like with Jake Plummer, that the talent around him is not getting the job done more than what he's not doing?
You know, I think it's fairly complicated and a little bit of a number of things. Number one, his receivers don't do a great job of catching the ball. Let's just say, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, the first thing I need is help, because I can't be successful if guys don't catch the ball. I think that Michael Wilbon certainly hit on a great point, and something I have thought since he came in the league and you see him close up the first time. He's a different quarterback. He is never going to be the classic drop-back guy, go through my progression of reads, and get rid of the football. I think that he can be taught to do that on occasion, but I think you have to make a tremendous adjustment to the player that you have if, in fact, you want him to play quarterback for you. That means you – and I think that, you know, Jim Moore Jr., Greg Knapp, I think they're all trying to do that and figure it out, but they're dealing with a new commodity. How do we make this thing work when we know we have a guy who could probably run for, you know, 100, 150 yards a game every game if we put the ball in his hands, but we want to see him more balanced in his ability to throw the ball. I think it's still a work in progress, and, you know, maybe I'm always looking at the glass half full. But my thought
is, that's what we like about you.
My thought is not how disappointing he is, Nick. My thought is what if he gets this one day? what about that day when he finally understands, which we thought he actually had it a few weeks ago, and everybody got so excited because there was this, you know, the perception was, boy, he finally learned to really, you know, balance that running and throwing, and look what he's capable of. And that's the thing that I keep my eye on right now. Now, if this is still going on a year, 2 years down the road, he's had and if it's still going on, he will have had a number of coaches, at least one more, then at some point you have to start thinking, you know, differently and start thinking maybe that we're not able to take that next step. But I don't see that yet. Right now, I'd love to see his receivers really do a great job. I'm not just talking about a good job, but start doing a great job of catching the ball for him and giving him some confidence.
Maybe giving him just another half a second to read, too.
Well, you know, you don't actually, as an organization, apply yourself as much to the offensive line when you have a guy like that. You know, I played with Elway, and the sense was, And this is not, you know, a negative. They were an all right group, but the offensive line wasn't required to be great because they knew they didn't have to be great because we had John, and John would make things happen. You know, I could point to the Dallas Cowboys. And Drew Bledsoe was playing quarterback, and he was getting sacked a lot. And when Romo stepped in, I've heard nothing but positives about the O-line now. Nothing but positives, because guy came in with a little bit of movement. So back to Michael Vick, though, I am neither sold nor despaired. I think that he's still a work in progress and problematic for a coach, yes, but you know, if he gets the right one and they get it figured out, and maybe it's Jim Moore Jr. and Greg Knapp, maybe this is the group, because there are times that I've looked at him and thought they're doing a great job of figuring this out, and then they seem to take two or three steps backwards. But the last couple of weeks, I mean, no one tell me that you don't think Mike Vick, I don't care what he threw for last week, that he didn't play well enough to win that game. You know, if you get that one catch at the end of that game, which I still don't know how it got dropped, then you're going to win the football game. And so even though he only threw for 88 yards, we would have had to add about 40 to that. But it was well enough to win. He played well enough to win, and he didn't get a chance to do that.
We've been talking a lot about young quarterback. Let's go to the defensive side just for our last question for you, young man, which is Cincinnati, just like the Chiefs until this year, could not tackle worth a darn. In the last three games, they've remembered how to do that, whether it's Sam Adams in the middle, whether it's increasing pressure on the quarterback. What are they doing, though? Why is it suddenly a switch that you can either turn on and off? And it seems to be the case around the league that runners are gashing defenses, that tackling is just not what it used to be.
Well, Nick, I can speak from personal knowledge on this. When I played with Randy Gratishar and Bobby Swinson and Joe Rizzo and Louis Wright and it's just a great group of guys, Reuben Carter, and great people. Really, I love them, neat people. We were an excellent tackling team because we tackled. We tackled in practice. We tackled in camp. We tackled, you know, on Thursday, Wednesday.
Were your full pads on Thursday?
I'm talking about having some full speed tackling. We're going to do some inside the five for fun. For fun. I mean, it was fun. and a goal line drill called the head bump drill. This thing where you would dive over the, you would have a guy dive over the goal line, perceived goal line. We would have somebody go spear that guy. And it made us a great goal line team. When I
You were the best
to,
goal line team in the NFL
we
for
were
probably
really,
5-6
we really,
years.
Really, really good. And I talk to coaches now, and this is a product of the game we play now. You cannot afford to tackle with guys the way we tackle. You can't practice it. And what is it that you believe you're going to do well that you don't practice? There are not many things in life that you will do well that you don't practice. And so tackling is like anything else. If you're going to be a good tackling team, and I'm not talking about killing your teammate, but I have seen when the Baltimore Ravens, all the way from their Super Bowl year, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing now, that team practices at a speed that's pretty intense. They don't knock guys to the ground, but they're running at people. They're giving them a good
close
bump
to game
when they
speed.
Hit them. Huh?
Close to game speed.
Yes. Close as we can get without hurting each other.
Killing each other.
That's right. And so when they get in games, I'm not surprised that they're highly aggressive, good tacklers. It's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, coaches have explained it to me. If you're paying a guy $4 million, the last thing that you want to see is that guy go down in a goal line drill where you're running full speed. You just can't afford to do it. Can't explain it to ownership. Can't explain it to the GM. You know, so they tend to go out. They go half speed. And then all of a sudden when you get, you know, to the day of the game and it's Larry Johnson coming at you, and you have no mental background to work with. We don't have any you know, information on how to bring that guy down. You know, I did it enough in my life, head up, head in front, wrap with the arms, drive through, butt up under you, and make something happen and come through aggressively and hold on tight. And you know, that's something that I practiced enough where it became second nature to me. I've actually been pleasantly surprised that the Cincinnati Bengals have shown this newfound ability to tackle, because I think that, you know, as you improve and improve and improve with the offense that they have, they're going to be a pretty darn good football team.
Hey, Tom, we just got 2 minutes left in this segment. We're joined by Buddy Tevens, head football coach at Dartmouth, formerly at Stanford, and Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports, and we're going to get to them about college athletic scholarships. But, Buddy, I thought you might enjoy getting a comment in about when you watch a Pete Carroll coming from the pros to USC. What Pete Carroll does is he practices at game speed as much as is physically possible, and that's why USC can play at a speed and an efficiency that has allowed them to be at this level. Buddy, what do you think about that and the way that you go about practices in the Ivy League?
Well, we really are no different. We try to cap guys out full potential. We abbreviate the length of practice. But if you have guys working at full tempo all the time, that becomes their operational style. And speed, as you all know, that makes a big difference on game day.
Well, listen, we're going to stay with Buddy. And Tom, thank you so much for giving us your time. And appreciate all that you do for raising the bar, my friend.
Always glad to be with you.
Be well. Tell Chris Bourbon I said hi.
I will. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to talk about college athletic scholarships with Buddy Tevens and Fred Ang for the National Alliance for Youth Sports and what it does for parents that supposedly are trying to help their kids not only learn how to play a sport, but how to play the game of life. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com.
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 Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other helpful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
Hi, this is the 2Gs. I'm Gary.
He's Graham.
Where we come from, the football is round.
90 minutes, 22 players, millions of fans around the world getting their fix each week. Get yours. Listen to the 2Gs.
Real talk, real fans, real football. www.the2gs.com. Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. Sirius Channel 122 and the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
We are so crowded today. We've got Dominique Dawes and Emmy Mullins, who is the president-elect of the Women's Sports Foundation, coming on to talk about another issue in sports, which is equality, gender equality, and what's going on with the Olympic and Paralympic Games and their report card there. And I know Buddy Tevens at Dartmouth College, which went co-ed when we were just young men. Those issues still remain because you've had to deal with a pool, if you will, at Dartmouth, which shrunk from 1,000 men per class to 500. That's got to be difficult for you.
Well, it really didn't impact the recruiting numbers, but certainly the number of people on campus, the male numbers on campus dwindled. The league itself has kind of governed how many young men you can accept each year that are involved in football, but there it is a change from the past, certainly.
Okay, now here's the hard question I wanted to ask you. To be honest, in, as you look at the difference between Stanford and what it could offer athletes and Dartmouth College, there is a growing trend among parents raising kids at the age of 10 and 8 and 12 where the idea, oh, that I can get my kid to get a college scholarship is corrupting their experience of sports. And we'll ask Fred Eng about this in a second. What do you think about that?
I think it's fairly accurate in many cases. The young men, young women who can get off the roll, if you will, with a full scholarship, it's an attraction. The young men and the young women, I'll say it to the guys from this point forward, guys are looking for an opportunity to go on to college, and if someone offers to pay for it, it makes a tremendous difference. What I'm seeing is a growing trend where there's tremendous emphasis by parents, where there's not as many two or three sport athletes at the high school level. Specificity seems to be the thing pushing and marketing guys at camps, which is wearing, in some cases, poor athletes out, going to 6-7 different football camps during the course of the summer in my sport, and all trying to do so to attract attention, ultimately with the hope that a young man or a young woman would attract a scholarship offer. And it's some people do it wonderfully, some people it's a little bit over the top.
Fred Eng, what does this do to corrupting the influence and the relationship of the parent with their children?
Well, what you have is a couple of things. Number one, it's far below 10 years old now. You got parents with kids 6 years old that are determined to have their kid get a scholarship, and they're involved in travel teams, specialty training, the whole bit. And what we forget in the process of many parents, this is about education, but most of the parents think it's reaching it to the big time in the pros.
Buddy Tevens, this also impacts what you are able to do or not able to do in the Ivy League, which does not have pure athletic scholarships. A lot of people don't understand it. How difficult does that make it for you to recruit people that are equally good academically but have these other scholarships that are tempting them?
Well, when you go head-to-head, the big difference is the quality of the educational experience. And people do respect the Ivy League and the level of education, not to say we monopolize quality education, but people understand that it is a pretty good situation academically. In many cases, it's an eye-opener that we don't offer athletic scholarships. We talk strictly about financial aid, parental need, parental income, and so forth. And for some families, that's an immediate turnoff, that if my son doesn't have a scholarship offer, then he doesn't have an interest. With others, their thought is, we understand the process. We know you're a little bit different, but the quality of football play, coupled with the quality of the educational opportunity, they still have an interest. What I found more often than not is if it's a 1A situation and a scholarship is offered, we probably will not retain that that individual. Stanford or Northwestern or Duke comes in very, very strong academic situations, but they pay the whole freight. We will probably lose out in that situation. On the flip, we will have some other institutions who may offer scholarships who may not be by reputation as strong as an Ivy situation, and some young men and parents will turn down because they do get a good bit of financial aid, or they may be in a fortunate situation. They don't need a scholarship or need financial aid to attend an institution. So it's, but more often than not, the hardest ones are when you have a guy that is offered a scholarship and we're trying to pitch a financial aid situation. We may come out in the short end on that.
And we're being a little unfair. It's $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 a year. So, you know, the expectations and the burden on parents is also increasing. Final question to you, buddy, because you were an outstanding head coach for Dartmouth back in the day in the early 90s. Then you went to Tulane, you went to Florida, you were with Steve Spurrier, you were the head coach at Stanford. What do you bring back from those experiences that inform the differences in how you approach recruiting, how you approach coaching now back at Dartmouth?
Well, what I look for is a passion to play amongst the athletes, and I think this is true at any level, in any school, any academic situation, scholarship or non-scholarship. We try to identify guys that just love the game and they love to compete, and we'll train them in the same fashion that we did at Florida or at Stanford or Illinois or any other major college operation, and the players respond very, very effectively to that. We do have to monitor. In my situation, we have guys that will major in engineering, pre-medicine, where they will have lab work that may conflict with practice. we build that in. We understand that maybe your starting center is missing on Wednesday afternoon because he has a bio lab. That's okay. We have smart young men, and we kind of work with them. And it's fun for me to see them compete at a high level. There's a good number of Ivy League. Yourself, a great example. Reggie Williams, another. Jay Fiedler from Dartmouth. Dave Shuler, who have gone on but graduated in 4 years with a degree that is very, very meaningful, can open doors after their football experience, but they didn't compromise their level of play either.
Well, we want to appreciate you for the leadership you provide in making sure that athletes today can get a true education and develop as complete people as well, Buddy Tevens. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Nick.
We'll be back with you, I hope, in coming weeks. And speaking of issues in sports, on Friday, we're still joined by Fred Eng, and we're talking now with Emmy Mullins, who is the president-elect of the Women's Sports Foundation and has been a champion Paralympic athlete as well. Emmy, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, sure, Amy.
Amy.
I know, it's spelled the French way, but I'm not French, so it's kind of...
we know with in French it means the loved one, so
yes.
We'll try to approach these important issues in a loving manner. We're also joined by Dominique Dawes, who's been a great Olympic champion herself. Dominique, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we're going to jump into this. Number one is, let's just go to the report card itself, because women's participation in the Olympic movement is very slowly improving, but you're also having to deal with cultural differences in the Olympic movement in different countries and underrepresentation, in particular, what I'm getting from this report, in the leadership levels. Let's start with IOC governance. And what is the difference, Amy, between IOC governance, which you give an F on the report card, and the U.S. Olympic Committee itself, which you give the participation of women as a D-plus rating?
Well, it's exactly what you were mentioning as far as some cultural differences and the international landscape. The USOC, I think, understands that we really need to make this a priority, an initiative to get, you know, you're not going to be able to develop more female athletes at a young age to get to the elite level unless you have it as part of your structure and part of your game plan and part of your leadership initiative to have women a part of the entire overall organizing committee.
Okay, and so you are elected president because I imagine that you are perceived as the one that can further these things. What is the strategy, Dominique Dawes, as an athlete who's articulate, who's attractive, who's got influence in the media? What is your strategy as women begin to gain more confidence and footholds in the media, footholds in the structure of leadership in this country? What is the strategy to move this forward?
Well, some of the recommendations that the Women's Sports Foundation has offered up was to the IOC to possibly look at themselves and make sure that they are showing equality in their different committees as their, you know, their board members with the Olympic Committee or, of course, the IOC governance. So our goal, part of the Women's Sports Foundation, is to make sure that the IOC is accountable, to make sure that, you know, there's equality, 50% women, 50% men, and that's not the case right now. We've also given them some recommendations to possibly add in some financial incentives for the different countries that choose to make measures to balance things out. I mean, as you've seen in our report, there's some good grades, like a B for U.S. Olympic participation of women, and then, of course, there's the F for the U.S. Olympic Committee governance, and we want to make sure that the IOC is putting their foot down and making sure that countries and governing bodies are making the necessary changes.
We're joined by Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports, who's working internationally in Africa as well to provide the wonderful teaching of values and its benefits through sport out there. And Fred, I've got to think that there is some impact, some echo from the efforts of people like Dominique Dawes and Amy Mullins in terms of how it affects the perception of girls at the younger ages as well. Do you see any change in how girls are being coached and also how women coaches are conducting themselves?
Well, let me put it this way very quickly, Nick, because I enjoy hearing Dominique and Amy there talking about it. But if you think of sports as a pyramid, where we need to develop girls for sports participation as it gets higher to the top of the pyramid, and let's call that the Olympics, is giving them the opportunity at the base of the pyramid. That's what the program we're doing worldwide called Game On Youth Sports throughout Africa. And that is where the emphasis needs to be, giving young girls the opportunity for skills and knowledge and motivation to play sports.
Let's get back to Amy. as a leader, you've actually been someone who is, you've been involved in magazines where there is a tendency, shall we say, for magazines to portray women for their physical beauty in a way that maybe men are not. Do you see any increase or decrease in sexism in general and how magazines and the media cover you?
Cover me in particular or women?
Cover you through your own lens.
Well, I certainly have noticed a difference. I mean, I've been really privileged to be an athlete with a disability who was mainstreamed, but that happened because of a large part of insistence on my part to focus on the athleticism and not the human interest side of my story. And that took a little bit of time. That took some years, but certainly I've come a long way in the way the media covers me and my story. I think as far as sexism goes, we have a long way to go. It's part of the advertising strategy of certainly the Western media that a certain importance is placed on a physical attractiveness. And I do think that that carries for men as well as women, but in not such a great amount as it does for women. I do think it's changing, though. I mean, I was just at a luncheon the other day, and Danica Patrick was being honored, and certainly, you know, her athletic accomplishments, as well as like Dominique or Julie Foudy or Mia Hamm, that's what is highlighted first. And you know, we're looking at the first generation right now of Title IX athletes, so I'm very excited to see what happens in the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now, 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
For the technical issues, but we're still joined by Amy Mullins and Dominic Dawes. And guys, let's go to the media coverage side of it. We're covering it today. Do you see any increased interest by the media in making sure that women's athletics are covered more effectively?
Well, through the Women's Sports Foundation report, we found out that during the Olympics, the women's sports are covered a great deal in comparison to normal sports coverage in women. We have the breakdown at 61% for men, 39% for women, which is very close to equality. However, during the regular season of sports outside of the Olympics, it's less than 8% coverage of women in print and less than 6% coverage of women on television. So that's something that we do believe needs to be changed. But as you've heard, during the Olympics, women are getting a good amount of coverage.
Well, we've talked to Sasha Cohen, Jenny Finch, and Leilani Munter, who's a NASCAR driver, and certainly, there are some great stories out there. What can we do to make sure that the good stories are out there more often?
Is Amy still on?
I would say that you just need to give yourself your own report card. You know, look and see what if you're being equitable in your reporting. I mean, certainly as far as the Paralympics goes, the country's media, the United States' media is pretty dismal when it comes to covering Paralympic sports. Unlike what you find in Europe and Australia, where the coverage is much closer to parity with that of Olympic coverage. But I think, you know, we can just monitor ourselves and make sure that we're giving equal airtime.
Well, listen, let's promise this. Dominique and Amy, I will make the time on this show on a regular basis to make sure we cover the Women's Sports Foundation. And maybe in 2 weeks, if you can come back with us, and we'll give a little bit more time to this and maybe have some more specific stories of women, not only in the United States, but I'd like to hear also about women in Africa, women in Asia, and some of their journeys as well.
Well, thank you, Nick, so much for having us on your show.
Yes,
we appreciate
you.
Dominique Dawes and Amy Mullins. Appreciate your leadership. Not to mention your beauty. It's not a bad thing. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Go to headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. Monday show, Monday morning quarterback with Hall of Famer Len Dawson and Sam Huff from the Giants and the Redskins. We'll see you Monday.